Now I'm on. We're going to be in Nehemiah. We're going to be in 3 and 4 today. We won't read through them all. As you will notice, if you open up and look at Nehemiah 3, it's not exactly the greatest read-through. But I want to go over a little bit of what we've gone through so far. So we can, a little backtrack, we've had some people sick and some people out. And we started Nehemiah, got the call from his friends who had visited Jerusalem and the area. And it made him very upset that his city, the heritage that he knew of, was in rubble. And that caused him great trouble. You see how I rhymed there? I was just seeing if you guys were paying attention. I know we're diligently in our Bible. What was happening here in this time period is, we know Israel has its issues, or has had its issues over the years. They love God, then they're not so sure, then they defy God, then they get punished. This is just a circle of Israel's disobedience, kind of, sort of. They've had this past with them. And what we're dealing with now is one of those times where there was a 70-year deportation of all the Jews from the areas, from the Assyrians, the Babylonians, all took them out. And as there were 3 times when the Jews were taken out of Israel, there are 3 times when they came back. We are in the 3rd time right now. Nehemiah is in the 3rd time. The 1st time was led by Ezra and Zerubbabel. And I had this great chart, but I forgot to put it in my little PowerPoint. So remind me next week and I'll show it to you. And Zerubbabel, and that's just a fun word to say, isn't it? Yeah. All right. And Ezra led, and then Zerubbabel tried to start getting a little... He wanted things his way, and he was taking a little bit for himself, so Ezra had to scold him. And then Ezra came in and took over the 2nd time people came back, and they started to rebuild. They started to build some of the city, and they finished the temple. But, of course, as we learned last week, what was the deal with the temple? It's not as big. It was not as glorious. They were living in the past, and they had to come future. So now... we got Nehemiah coming in. He's going to build back the infrastructure. He's going to build back the walls and make Jerusalem a powerful as it is. And so they've started building. And, of course, what happens when people of God start to do some bad thing or some good things? Satan. Yeah. People come in. And they start getting upset. And the enemy doesn't like the fact that Jerusalem is rebuilding, because they know it'll become a powerhouse as it has been in the past. Today, there's a lot of words that we're going to go over. So I thought, how fitting that we just talk about the power of words, or the reality in the power of words. Sometimes we don't realize the power that we have with our mouth to lift people up, or to tear people down. You know, I was just lifted up by Jason's prayer this morning, because I know each of you is now praying, or we were praying together. That lifted me up. You know, I'm excited about that. But words are the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively, or we can choose to use it destructively. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, or to hurt, harm, humiliate, or humble. How are we using words? So if you look at Nehemiah 3, it is a long list of people helping. This person helped, and this person helped, and this person helped. And in that, there are so many diverse people. If we were to go across this room right now and look at, you know, what we do outside of our church life, we are as diverse a group of people as any. We do different things. But there's, in this group of people, There was governors, priests, goldsmiths, perfumers, ruler of the half of the district, ruler of the other half of the district of Jerusalem. Just a large list of people, a great sphere of people coming together to do the work. But within that, I believe it's verse 5, there is a, what's the ugly word there? In verse 5. That's not rhetorical. If you see it, can you see it? The what? No, no, no. I'll just give it away. The nobles did what? Did not. The nobles did not. What's the problem with that? Everybody's, you know, we always hear this positive. Everybody came together and built the walls and, well, I won't give the way of the days yet. You'll have to read ahead to get that. We'll learn that in a couple of weeks. But what's going on with these nobles? And one explanation, besides just laziness of the rich, is their noble status was given to them by Tobias, by Sanballat, these two guys that were coming against Jerusalem. How many have seen Braveheart? Anybody? Okay, good. All right, so I was hoping this reference wouldn't fall flat. You guys will notice that I like movies, and so probably every week there's going to be some kind of reference to a movie at some point. Today I'm doing two movies. It's a special day. Anyways, you see that in Braveheart, where the nobles were bought off. You know, William Wallace is ready to conquer, but the guy with all the money came in and bought him off and said, you can have lands and prosper. And so what did they do? They turned their backs on William Wallace. That's what I believe is happening here. They gave him all this money and this wealth in return for their allegiance and in turn for their, hey, when it time comes, I want you on my side. So these people are like, we're not going to help because they're just going to fall. They're just going to fail. Well, moving on, if you read through the whole chapter there, the word next is said 15 times. The word after is said 16 times. Now, like I said, I like simple words. I like to read. Why are these words in there? Now, there's probably not a real great deep meaning as to why these words there, but there's an interesting turn, because the first part of chapter 3 it says next, and in the last part of chapter 3 it switches over to after. And right there where it switches was the time where people started working on their own homes, where people started working on the walls behind their own homes. It's very interesting. I got a chart. There's some simple words. That is, I wish I had a little pointer here, but you start in chapter 3. It starts right there at the sheep gate, which is over here on the left side, and it goes down and all the way around and labels everyone. But right around, right around this top part here, just past Levites, is where it switches over to after. Now, I don't want to play a whole lot into the significance of the word change, but I think it maybe was to draw our attention to what's going on here, in the sense that they were working probably stronger to build the wall in their own home because it guarded their own home. And think about the significance of that to us as Christians. If we simply would fortify our own homes, if we simply would bring up our own children in the way that God wants them to be brought up, how much stronger would the Christian faith be? You know, so many times we think we need to be busy at church and we need to be busy at this, and we forget these little lives that have been put before us, these little lives that we are to care for, to bring up in the ways that God has put on our hearts. So we have children, we have grandchildren, and if we simply work on doing that, what a powerful force we could be, you know? Words to think on, right? Well, we get into Nehemiah 4, and we're going to start talking about harmful words, because here comes Sanballat and Tobiah, and they're really, really upset. It says, starting in verse 1, now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they receive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned out ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up, it will break down their little stone wall. You know, this is just people sitting there jeering. You know, who do you think you are? You're never going to succeed. You're never going to be able to rebuild this great. And I would recommend at some point going online and looking at, because there's pictures of the actual wall in Nehemiah's day that you could see. I mean, not back when Nehemiah was, because that would be weird. But, you know, you can look at some of the structures to give you kind of a, you know, we think, okay, we're building a wall. No, this thing was huge. This thing was big. Sue, when you were there, did you get to go see any of the walls? They weren't small, were they? They were large. And to think that these people had the task of rebuilding this large wall, 2.5 miles long. You know, I think we went 4 kilometers yesterday, and I was tired. This was the second time that the enemy used words to try to break down Nehemiah and try to get the Jewish people to stop rebuilding their city. You know, there's an old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lot. What did I say? Names. But words. Well, names. Yeah. That's why I have it written down. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's a lie. Words hurt. Words will break us down. Yeah, sticks and stones will hurt, but words can hurt us deep inside. James has 117 verses in it, and 12 of those verses are strictly to the use of how we use our tongue. James says in James 3, 1 through 12, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. They are so large and are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth came blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. That is some powerful words on the tongue. There's a great movie out right now, and I recommend it to everybody. It's called The Greatest Showman. Has anybody seen that yet? Oh, would you agree? Good movie? Oh, okay. Well, Mark's not a part of this discussion. My wife and daughter give me a hard time. I like musicals. I like those kind of movies. And there's this one song in it, and it goes like this. It says, I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say. No one will love you as they are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know there's a place for us, for we are glorious. I'm just going to go on to the last. It says, another round of bullets hits my skin. We'll fire away, because today I won't let them sink in. We are bursting through the barricade and reach above the sun. Yeah, that's what we've become. Won't let them break me down to dust. I know there's a place for us. We are glorious. That is a strong song towards the use of words. And if you don't know about the movie, it's about a bunch of I will say misfits that join together and love each other and have a common place where they can go. And I mean, it's about the circus. But by no means does this song have any reference to God or anything, but it's just a great, I think, depiction of how we can allow words to destroy others by telling them they're not worthy or they're not good enough or go away. You know, and we're not to be about that. We're to be about building people up. So for a third time, the enemy resorts to words to attack. In verse 7, Nehemiah 4, 7 and 8. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. So words did not work, so they threatened war. But yet again, what was this? Just words. Just talk. I do hate bullies. Anytime in a movie where a bully gets what's coming to them, I cheer. Now, I know that's probably not the most Christian thing to do, but it's just me being honest, you know, to see a bully get his or hers. I don't want to be, you know. But words are powerful instruments of destruction, but they can also turn the tide, and they can also strengthen us to great things. When the devil gives us doubt, we have the strength of God's glory to guide us and to strengthen our hands to good works. And so Nehemiah goes on here and he starts using building words. He starts using things to build up his people. In Nehemiah 4 through 6 and 9, in response to the enemy's words, Nehemiah did not come back with harsh words towards his enemies. But what does he do? He lifts his words up to God. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in the land where they are captives. Now, he wasn't nice about his word, but he gave them to God. He said, do not cover their guilt and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah came back with strong building words, and he strengthened his people to build the wall. And when they came again with verbal attacks, what did Nehemiah do in verse 9? Again, and we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day and night. Again, he didn't just go to simple words. He didn't just go to attacking them with words. He just said, God, can you just take care of this? Can you just, you know, if you want to harm them, God, you go ahead. You take it. He said they knew where their strength came from. I want to ask you a question. Do you guys know where your strength comes from? There's a great verse, Psalms 12, 1 and 2. I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. When we start doubting, when we start having, I don't like it when God gives me something to preach on that I'm struggling with. You know, this time in our life right now, we would love so much to be together. I'd love for my family to come and meet our new family. But God's timing is God's timing. But I know, and I can rest on that I know that His timing is perfect. And His timing is where I want to be. It's tough sometimes. It can cause us to struggle. But if we think about it, we serve a God who created everything, who created the heavens and the earth. Surely He can sell a home. You know? Well, even with all that went on here, they still started doubting. And they still started having doubting words. Listen to this. In Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we are not able to rebuild the wall. Verse 11. And our enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return. You must return. They were starting to doubt what they were doing. They were starting to, even with all the strength that they were given, everything that had happened up to this point, they still doubted. Can we think of a time when this happened? A bunch of people came out of Egypt. They got to the desert, and they're like, man, all we got is manna to eat, and you split this big rock, and we got water, but now we're just going to die here in the desert? We want to go back to Egypt. You know, after all, I struggle with those stories sometimes because they had pillars of fire, the sea was split, and they're still going, God, are you here? You know? It's just like, come on, people, get it together. But still they doubt. It's a natural human thing to doubt. They started listening to hurtful words, and it caused doubt in themselves. Do you ever question your strength? Do you ever question, well, can I do this? Can I be this person? Is this what I can do? But listen to Nehemiah's words here. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Summarize, remember the Lord and fight. You know, we have something to fight for as Christians. We have a legacy to leave our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Remember the Lord and fight. And this should give us great strength. Should give us an anthem to stand behind. The Lord is fighting for us, and we should fight for Him. I watched a great documentary the other day. I think it's called The Killing Season. Don't let the name scare you. But it was about what's going on in Afghanistan right now and how our army is kind of stepping back and letting the Afghan army take over and be on the front lines and fight. And when they were interviewing one of the commanders of the U.S. Army, they said, what are you doing here? Why are you still here? And he says, so my sons and daughters don't have to be. You know, when they were interviewing this local and he was fighting, and he was showing pictures of his house where it used to be in the rubble. And they said, why do you continue to fight? And he says, because I want to build a better future for my children. I want it to go back to the way it was. So my sons and daughters don't have to come back here. Nehemiah and the others were fighting and building for a future that involved their children in a better place and a place that they were called to be where they are right now. And if we think of the future of our grandchildren, if we think of the future of our children, strong words leads to action. After all the words, the people were strengthened to action. Starting in verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, the other half held spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that they each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And what does that tell us? To be diligent day and night. Be ready. And how are we ready as believers? We keep in God's word. We keep to prayer. We keep surrounding us with believers that can help us. Hey, Jason, you know, you're struggling here. You know, hey, Jason, I've seen you kind of, you know, we help each other. We build each other up because we are a family. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread. And we are separated far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpets, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored at the work, and half of them held spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right-hand side. Be diligent. Because what does the Bible tell us? The devil is what? a roaring lion seeking to devour. They came together and they worked together and they were ready to fight together. The devil does not want to see the church succeed. The devil does not want to see Glacier Church succeed. He will use any and all means to destroy the church. But in all that takes place, we must remember that we serve a God who created everything. As He helped Nehemiah then, and as He helped through the rest of the history of the church, He is here to help us now. And we can call Him anytime. Remember where our strength comes from. Remember what we are building for. And remember, we are a family set to a great task. We should be unified in that task and set to a common goal of glorifying God with all our actions and with all our words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for today. I thank You for giving us these historical accounts in the Bible that teach us that not only are You here for us today, but You've been with us from the beginning of time. And that we have a great power before us to lift up our words to You. And the Bible shares with us that You hear them and that You answer them and that You are with us every step of the way, Lord. I thank You for allowing us this time to open up Your Word together, Lord. I thank You for giving me the task of sharing it, Lord. I ask that You be with each of us this week, that we would be given an opportunity to share Your love with someone else, Lord. That we would cross paths with someone that does not know who You are, and that we would be able to share with them who You are to us and who You can be to them, Lord. Thank You so much for everything You've given us. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.